Okay, how many of you are familiar with the name George Mueller? Okay, a few of you. George Mueller was a powerful man of prayer. One of the things the Lord had him do was to establish an orphanage. And some of you may recall one of the instances where he saw answers to prayer, where it was a time when he had all these children and no food. And he told them, set the plates, set the silverware, set the cups out, and we're going to pray. God's going to provide. They had no food. Snow was coming down, and it started to get pretty heavy. George Mueller went to the window, looked outside, and a little bit down the road, there was a grocery wagon, and it was carrying groceries into town. The only thing was it couldn't make it because of the heavy snow. The man from the grocery wagon walked to Mueller's facility and knocked on the door and said, I've gone as far as I can in this snow. He says, I can't deliver my groceries. He says, you have the children here. He said, what if I gave all the groceries to you and you could supply it to the children? And we look at that as an answer to prayer, but a lot of times we don't realize that there are so many factors that come into play in answering prayer. This was not simply one where on a normal day he was driving into town and an idea comes into his mind, hey, I think I'm going to go and give all my stuff to the orphanage. Didn't work like that. Here was a man who normally would have just gone right into town, delivered his groceries. He had an obligation. He had buyers in there, and they were waiting for the food. But in this case, snow came. Now, George Mueller didn't make it snow. The man in the wagon didn't make it snow. God did. And there was something that happened to make that snow come so that it would be just the right depth of snow that he couldn't make it the rest of the way. He had to stop right there, not far from the orphanage itself. When you look at the logistics of this, you realize there was an awful lot behind the scenes. Number one, God had to know that those children didn't have any food. God had to know that there was a wagon filled with food headed in that direction. God had to know everything about what was going on, even things that Mueller didn't. And that's one of the keys of praying in faith. Praying about things that we don't see and we couldn't possibly comprehend. When George Mueller looked outside and saw the snow coming down, I would suspect that an average person would look at that and they'd say, oh, nobody's going to come and help us now. We're going to be snowed in. There's no chance for anything great happening. I mean, the average person would have looked at that and come to that conclusion. But one of the things that Mueller learned, and we need to learn as well, is that faith depends upon a God who sees things we cannot see and is able to do things that we cannot do, even in advance of our needs, and then to answer our prayer. There's a scripture about that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That story about George Mueller. I'm sure in heaven they're going to be talking about that. That's one of those stories that, people are going to be praising God for throughout eternity. Because it points to his power, not only of knowledge, but the ability to create situations where we don't even know that they've been created. I want to share with you today how important it is to get our sights on the things that we don't see. This is what that scripture's talking about. If we operate by faith, we don't operate on the basis of saying, okay, I have everything in hand, everything is here, thank you, God, and then move on. Instead, we look at our empty hands and we say, Lord, I don't have what I need. I don't see how it's possible. But we have faith in a God who rewards those who diligently seek Him. Now, I know there are some Christians who say, well, I prayed and God didn't answer. But how diligently did you seek Him? There's a difference between praying and saying, okay, God, I believe you're going to do this. God, I need a new swimming pool behind my house. And God, give me that swimming pool. I believe you can do it. I believe you will do it. You can talk yourself into it. And then not get the swimming pool. It isn't just that, well, I have faith that God's going to do whatever I say. It is faith that God will do what I ask when I ask according to His will. Now, that requires some very serious seeking to know His will even before we pray and we ask. And I shared with you the other day, a man on a park bench. I walked past, and the guy said, hey, buddy, can you help me out here? My girlfriend's in the hospital, and I need to go see her, and I don't have money for a bus ticket. Well, the guy had just gone into the store. He had a big box of food on one hand. He had a hamburger in the other hand and food on the other side. And there he is asking people to buy a ticket for him so he can go see his girlfriend. I don't know if the man ever made it to see his girlfriend or even if he had a girlfriend in the hospital or whether he was lying and just wanted more hamburgers. But I know this, that what he was doing was like a lot of Christians. They have what God has given to them and they misuse it. They misuse it. And you know, God isn't under any obligation to bail us out of situations when we misuse what God has given to us. He's under no obligation because He fulfilled His part. And just because you may have used it for the wrong purposes or done the wrong thing and failed to be faithful to Him, that obligates God in no way. In no way. What we find here is that God is able. He's always been able. But there are things that need to go on behind the scenes where God responds to our faith in things that we don't see. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Then we'll get back. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, it says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, is that all future? Or does that apply now? This is one of these statements that not only hits our present and our future, that this is one of these things that you can't limit to a time. God is able to do things that you can't see. As a matter of fact, you know, most answers to prayer require God to do things behind the scenes, and you have no way of understanding how it happens. You have no way to be able to calculate how God can do such and such, but He does. He knows in advance what's going to happen because He's God. Yet you have a particular need. Even before you ask, God sets in motion everything that is needed to meet that need. Now, the problem is this. There are times because we have failed that we don't get what God has provided. Because, like we say, we've misused what God gave to us already. We failed to be consistent in our faith. We're not enduring and we're not continuing on in faith. And we kind of throw up our hands and say, well, I don't see it coming. You know, I suspect, and only eternity will prove whether I'm wrong on this, but I suspect when George Mueller looked out that window and saw the snow getting deeper and deeper, and the fact that he was going to be snowbound in that building with no chance of getting out, of people coming in, I suspect that if George Mueller had said, man, look at these circumstances. There's nobody that's going to help us now. There's no way God's going to answer now. That if he had taken that attitude, going by sight, what he saw outside that window, I believe that God could have, even though that wagon filled with groceries was coming down the road, I believe God could have stopped him right where he was, and that man driving that grocery wagon, instead of God playing on his heart to do something good, God could have just let him go the way he was. And he could have gone to some other house, some other place to get warm, and left all those groceries there in the cold. He could have done that. Because there's so many factors involved in Mueller getting all those groceries. That man who drove the wagon had to be willing to turn all of it over to the orphanage. He had to have a willing heart. I mean, think about it. How many people today, if they're caught in a snowstorm, would say, hey, I have all this stuff. It's going to perish in the snow, but I'll give it to you if you want it. I mean, most people would hold on to it even though it would get ruined. Depends upon the heart of the individual. And if people were to look at the circumstances, and we all get into these circumstances where you cannot, with your eyes, see an answer. You cannot see a way out. If you give up on God, even though God has made all the arrangements for you to supply all your need through Christ Jesus, isn't that a scripture? Even though he has gone to that extent, he will not put in the final piece to the puzzle unless you operate by faith and keep on asking and believing. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about how the Lord's able to get us through anything. In verse 16 it says, for which cause we faint not. We faint not. That's what it takes. Our faith cannot faint or God won't bless it. There are an awful lot of people who pray and then they throw up their hands. Says no use. Years ago, I was in a mobile home park, and I was notified that a woman had died that we knew. She had prayed years and years for her son, and they let me know she had gone on to be with the Lord and asked if I would go and talk to the son. She had prayed for him for so long. The guy was violent. Matter of fact, there was one time, it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, I get this pounding on the door. There was the son with this big butcher knife. You know, what a greeting at that time of the morning. But at any rate, I went over and I talked with him. I let him know that his mother had gone on to be with the Lord and how she had prayed for him every day, many times a day. And for years she had done this. She did not give up. As a matter of fact, the person who was with her when she died said that on her deathbed she was praying for the salvation of her son. So many years had gone by. He had gotten into prison, gotten into trouble time after time. And, you know, a normal person would look at that and say, I guess God's not going to answer my prayers. I'm wasting my time. There are people, Christians, who say that they love the Lord, who really don't believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. She told me one day, she said, I know my son's going to get saved. And what she told me was, she says, so I'm going to pray for him till the day I die. She did. And she says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to keep on praying until he gets saved. Well, I don't know about that, but I know this, that because his mother had prayed, the Holy Spirit convicted him, and this man got saved. Now, you know, there are a lot of people who say, that's impossible. God can't do it with some people. But God gave her the confirmation he was going to get saved. And she could have thrown up her hands at that point and said, well, God, you're going to do it, so no need for me to pray anymore. But she didn't do that. She kept on praying. It says, for this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, that's one of the things people say, you know, I'm getting old. I've been praying for this thing for years. I've been praying God would do this for year after year, and I'm just getting physically weary of praying. I'm getting physically downhearted. Well, you know what? Whatever happens to you physically doesn't matter. Because what the Bible says is the inward man is renewed day by day. You don't get older simply because your body does. Jesus told Mary, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He says, do you believe this? She says, yes, of course, I believe in the resurrection. She missed the point. Jesus was getting at the fact that you and I have a soul and a spirit that never is going to die. Now think about that. Your soul and spirit will never ever die. So when you look at spiritual maturity, there are a lot of people who say, you know, I think I've made it. I'm spiritually mature now. I can do this. I can do that. Listen, you haven't seen anything yet. How long is your soul and spirit going to last?
Forever.
What kind of life did Jesus give to you?
Eternal.
Eternal. Everlasting life. And that means the same spirit and soul that you have now, if you're saved, because you have a born-again spirit, don't you? If you've been born again, that same spirit and soul that you have is the very same soul and spirit that is going to be catapulted into heaven, pulled up by the power of God, and then given a new body by the Lord. But that very same spirit and soul got a head start. It's eternal. It's going to last forever with Jesus. We can't afford to say, well, you know, my body is getting older. I can't do some of the things. No, you can't. But I'll tell you what. When you get older, your soul and spirit ought to learn how to pray better. Your soul and spirit ought to have a little more wisdom. Your soul and spirit ought to have a better vision of what God wants you to do in life, the older you get. I'm amazed that sometimes seniors, they just kind of sit back and say, well, my better days are behind me. Well, if that's the case, you've given up on God. Because the reality is, if your soul and spirit is going to live forever, your better days are up ahead if you're doing what's right. There is this unseen world that we we live in that a lot of people don't recognize how important it is. Your soul and spirit, you can't see it physically. You just see your body. But the soul and spirit can mature. I have seen kids that are 9 and 10 years old that are more mature than some 40 and 50 year olds that I know. Why? Because they allowed their soul and spirit to grow spiritually. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How often?
Day by day.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Here's that verse again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. So how seriously do you take your own prayers? How seriously? I mean, I know a lot of Christians ought to be ashamed of the way that they pray. Because they'll pray for a little while and then get upset with God. Well, God, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And then, you know, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit's grieved. I'm sure he's upset. And so the Lord just kind of turns his back and says, okay, you want to be that way? I'll let you be that way. And they never get the answer they're looking for. Because they're not faithful. They believe everything. Well, I got to see it first. I got to see it. That isn't faith. That's walking by sight. And Christians don't do that. And I get a whole section here of things that we can't see that God provides for us. I'm going to go down the list real quickly. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 4. Unseen. John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda, verse 4, it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the waters, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. I think I know a little bit about human nature. I think I know how sometimes people can become so desperate in wanting to be healed that nothing will stop them. I want you to consider if there was a doctor who every time he came into a city, someone was healed. And there were a lot of people who are very sick who got together. And they said, we know this. Whenever the doctor comes to town, somebody gets completely healed. Do you know what they would do? Now, I'm not talking about born-again Christians. I'm talking about the average Joe in the street. You know what they do? They get together and they say, listen, when that doctor comes and he's ready to heal somebody, grab him, get a hold of him, and not let him go until he heals the rest of us. What do you say? That's how people think. That's what people would do. Now, this angel at a certain season would come. Can you imagine all the people who would swarm around there and say, let's get a hold of him, not let him leave until he blesses us. One of the things that angels do is to appear and then disappear. They're totally different creations than we are. We know angels have appeared before people and then suddenly they're gone. We know that the Bible reminds us that angels are able to take different forms. that they're able to appear just like human beings. And the Bible tells us that be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. In other words, you know, the angel didn't appear as white, glowing with floppy hair, furry wings, but instead appeared just like a regular person. And then they disappear. They look around, they're gone. How many times in our lives have we just felt something odd? There was a presence. We couldn't put our finger on it, but there was a presence there. You may have looked around behind you because you know how it is. If somebody's standing behind you, you get this feeling. And you turn around and nobody's there. How many times have angels been involved in our lives where we don't give God the credit for sending an angel for being there? I'd say it happens so many times in every believer's life that when we get to heaven, we're going to be ashamed of the number of times that we didn't follow what God said to do and receive from God the help that the angel was there to give us. Over in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness, driven by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. He suffered hunger, he suffered thirst, and then he suffered being tempted by Satan. Matthew chapter 4, we know how the Lord got rid of the devil, told him he had to leave. Jesus has the authority, and the devil had to leave. But then in verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Angels came and ministered unto him. How do angels minister? You know, there are cartoons that you see every now and then of a good angel and a bad angel, one on each shoulder. And one angel's whispering in, do this for the glory of God. And then the other angel says, think of yourself. Do what you want to do. That may not be too far from the truth. Angels, although you can't see them, do have the ability to communicate with people. Have you ever had a scripture just pop into your mind and wonder, where did that come from? Why did I just think of that? What does that have to do with my situation? And then the Holy Spirit says, I'll tell you what it has something to do with. And the Lord just unravels the whole thing. And you understand a scripture better than you ever have in your life. Can angels speak to us? Yeah. Who should get the credit? The angel? No. The angel's working for somebody. And we need to give credit to the Lord. Just as a sidelight, don't listen to the wrong angel. But the angels can lift up and encourage. But we have to be willing to listen. Can a person actually get to the point where they don't want anybody to encourage them? Where they don't want anybody to lift them up? Where they don't want anybody to speak to them about the Lord? Oh, yes. Over and over and over again, I've seen it happen. Christians who actually are more familiar with being depressed and discouraged than they are with being filled with faith and joy. Shouldn't be that way. But that's the way it is in many people's lives. And the work of the angels that God sent to encourage, to bring joy, to bring peace into a person's life, Though the ministry of those angels is just shoved aside so that a person can be on familiar territory. Depression and discouragement. Angels can set things up for judgment. We see this so many times in Scripture. Wasn't it two angels that God sent down to Sodom and Gomorrah? If you read the book of Revelation, who is it that carries out the judgments? The angels. And if you study very carefully in the book of Revelation, what you'll find is that the angels many times have to set up a scenario first to bring about future judgments. In other words, some of the angels that have charge over the atmosphere, they set up a scenario that's going to bring judgment. Just to give you an idea, we know that hurricanes are born out of cold air in the atmosphere, but very warm water that encourages a very strong hurricane. Can an angel set that up?
Yes, sure.
Right now, we have a situation where we had a kind of an easy winter down here, didn't we? The Atlantic right now is several degrees higher in temperature than what it normally is. And we're just beginning the warm season. Well, for Florida, it's warm. Other people call it hot. But that's all being set up right now. Do you think angels have anything to do with that? Of course they do. What does it take to set up a tornado? Various weather conditions, it just doesn't happen. There are angels that are in charge of all these wind currents, the cold and the hot air mixing. These things just don't happen by accident. There are unseen factors involved. And there are angels that are involved as instruments of God to bring these things about. Yeah, we look at the book of Revelation, there are so many areas like that. And it's important for us to understand that right now, the angels of God and the angels of Satan both are very, very active. The angels of God active in preparing God's people for judgment here on this earth, for preservation, to prepare them for what's up ahead so that they can not only survive, but be good witnesses, to be good testimonies during difficult times. Angels are setting all this up. And where people get down and discouraged because they look at the world situation, they look at their region, and they get all upset about it, we have to remember that when Elijah just threw up his hands and said, all right, I'm an old man now. I'm ready to go to my father's. I've done what I can. I'm ready to die. And he went out into the wilderness. Sat down, in, I guess, in one of those little oases and went to sleep. He wanted to die. And you remember what happened. God sent an angel. And I love the way the Hebrew brings this out. It points out that the angel punched him. He needed it. Wake up, Elijah. There are things to do. Elijah went out into that wilderness with no food and no water because he wanted to die. The angel had food and water for him, didn't he? He said, you're not through yet. You have things that you have to do for God. You know, these are things that with our eyes we cannot see. But we know that they happen. We see the testimonies of God's people who have things happen to them that there is no human explanation for how it all came together and worked out for good. There's only one person that can make every situation turn out for good. And either we have faith in him or we don't. I want to encourage you tonight to be more sensitive. Not to angels, but to God's feelings. You want people to be concerned about your feelings, you better think, first of all, above yours, think about God's. Because God goes to great lengths. He does things behind the scenes. He sends His angels, provides for our needs. And if we don't receive them, we reject them because, well, whatever reason. Are the feelings of God affected? Absolutely. You see, we can build up calluses, emotional calluses. We can put armor on and vow we're not going to be hurt by anybody. Nobody's going to get through to us. And we can go through all that nonsense. But we have it because of sin. God has no sin. And above all people, He is the most sensitive. So when God provides for you and says He'll take care of all your needs through Christ Jesus our Lord, and you don't believe it, then His feelings are affected. I want you to think about that tonight. Next time you want to rant and rave to the Lord that this didn't happen and that didn't happen and something else didn't happen, you know, get your thinking cap on and start asking yourself, number one, did God want it to happen? And number two, if God wanted it to happen, the reason it didn't is why? And you'll find 99.9% of the time, the reason is the finger pointing back at you. We're the reason. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You tonight. You're so gracious to us. You blessed us so much. And there's so many things You want us to have to accomplish Your will. So many things You want us to do. And yet, Lord, we're tempted every day. The world throws these things at us, and we're not immune to it. We get our eyes off from You and more onto ourselves. I pray, Lord, that we would keep our focus upon our relationship with You and never, never allow ourselves to have You hurt, to have Your feelings grieved because we didn't do what we're supposed to do. Father, You're so faithful to us. You kept us alive until we could be saved. Lord, You put up with all the sinful nonsense that we were doing until the point where we could receive Jesus and receive the power of Your Holy Spirit so we could overcome it. Lord, we thank You for Your patience. And tonight I pray that each one of us would be much more alert and aware of Your feelings and do things based upon what pleases You. Father, we thank You for the shed blood of Jesus, for the fact that His blood washes away our sins, that when we come to You in faith, that You gave us new life, an eternal life. Lord, I pray for each person that's here tonight as they charge out this week into the world and they have to deal with people who, some of them aren't saved, some of them are backslidden. I pray, Lord, that Your people here would be lights, that would be an encouragement, that would be people that would draw faith and bring it to You. Lord, bless Your people today. Glorify Yourself through them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Church will see you Wednesday.